Welcome into episode 84 of Kicking It with Danny and Donnie. I know we can't think of any basketball players with the number 84. What's an 84 that comes to your mind? Jersey number. Shannon Sharp.
Come on, man. There's only one 84. Randy Moss, baby. Come on.
I was thinking of Pat's Randy Moss. I'm sorry. That's 81.
No. I'm thinking about Minnesota Randy Moss. You know, like Moss. That dude, you know, 84 for me is gotta be Randy. But I mean, in reality, until we get to like 99. I don't think we have another NBA guy. I mean, we're going to have to wait for 99. We've got like those weird dudes at 99.
That's a lie.
Oh, no.
That's a lie. Dennis Rodman. No, I'm sorry. He wore in the 70s. So I feel like he may have worn a 90 with some.
No, 91. You're right. You're exactly right.
Oh, my gosh. With the Bulls. Yes. Okay.
You're exactly right. Dennis, maybe we can get. That's actually my stepdad. So I actually should be really. He's going to be upset at me. He's going to ground me for that.
I did get you a Dennis Rodman t-shirt for your birthday last year.
You did.
So amazing. That makes sense. Anyways, we've got two main things that we're going to get into, Danny. And I thought of this, not going to lie to you. Also, disclaimer, we did not go on last week, because it was your 1 year anniversary. So congratulations. For those of you that were wondering, my dad texted me, "Where's Kicking It? It's Tuesday." I said, "Well, Danny's occupied." So that's fair. But this week I was thinking, what could we do that's a timeless episode? Meaning you can listen to this now when it releases Tuesday morning. You can listen to it a week from then, and it still applies. So without further ado, let's get in to Danny and Donnie's all breakout team and all style team heading into the 21-22 season. Mr. Belcito, are you ready?
I am ready. I am absolutely ready. And I'm excited for this one because the timeless episodes typically are the ones we have a little bit more debate than we do on the ones about actual skill, championship predictions, because we know basketball, right? So we know who's going to be good. We understand what it takes to be a champion. However, when it comes to breakout stars and it comes to style, league fits, the swag that athletes and NBA players have, we have a very different preference when it comes to style. So these top five, these breakouts, they might be a little bit different. So I'm interested to see where we're at. But odds are our breakout teams are probably going to be more similar than we think. But I'm trying to build it up at least.
Well, when you mentioned that when it's current things and things that are happening as we're speaking, we tend to sometimes agree with each other. And considering that these are guys that will be playing, and it doesn't really fall under the same umbrella, but it kind of does. So if we have one or two, I wouldn't be surprised. But the criteria, all breakout, meaning, you know, whatever definition we want to say breakout is, guys that we think are going to rise up a level from where they were last year, all style, I'm kind of mixing it with who do I think is going to be the most stylish, most styled, the stylish. I don't know what to say. Heading into this year, you could tell I'm a very styly person.
Right.
Slash what they were like in years prior, preferably last year off of recency. Okay. So all breakout first. We're literally going to go point guard, shooting guard, small forward, power forward, center for both. I'm just going to kick things off. Point guard, easy answer, Lonzo Ball. He's got his own team, minus Zach LaVine, because if you think about his own team and you say that, well, he's got all these people, that's not true, because in LA, he had LeBron James, and that doesn't count. In New Orleans, he had Zion Williamson. And not that Zion is LeBron's level, but it's Zion's team. So Lonzo never really got that spotlight that he needed. He was always, you know, either clouded by LeVar, clouded by Zion's 290-pound shadow. And now he's in a market where it's a team that's on the rise, which I would buy stock in if I were an NBA fan. His jumper's getting better. He's embraced the side of the defensive aspect of being a point guard. He's got DeMar DeRozan. He's got Zach LaVine. He's got Nikola Vucevic. He's got Alex Caruso.
Yes,
thank you. Yes. So my point guard on Donnie Sherrill's all breakout team is Lonzo Ball. Who's yours?
To be honest, I like that pick a lot. I gotta be 100% candid, like I always am. I didn't think about that because in my mind, Lonzo was already top level. Like, I wasn't one of those guys who was like, I'm off the Lonzo train. He's gonna be out of the league. Like, you know, people are just speaking blasphemy. You said it. LA wasn't his team. They didn't play him right. You saw a little bit more of him in New Orleans, where he had a little bit more, you know, credence to be a little bit more creative, and you saw what he's capable of. And you're right, his jumper did improve. So I will give you credit on that one. I thought a little bit deeper. I suspect something will happen to allow my pick to become a breakout star. So my pick is Tyrese Maxey, because I believe Ben Simmons gets dealt. And every time Tyrese Maxey touches the floor, he balls out. If you go look through all of the games where Simmons was out, he was injured, it was a bummy game, they were sitting people, Tyrese Maxey would sneak up and drop 30, 40 at times. And when he gets hot, hot. The only problem with Maxey a little bit is defense. But when you talk about breakout, most of the time when you talk about breakout, most improved, let's be honest, Donnie, they go by PPG. So I think Tyrese Maxey's PPG is going to go massively up if and when Ben Simmons gets dealt to, hopefully, my Golden State Warriors. So my pick is Tyrese Maxey.
Can he not go to the Warriors? Like, I don't want to listen to that.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't. I really don't. But you know what? That's fine. I like that pick. This is going to be fun. I'm already excited. Actually, you know what? You go shooting guard. We'll trade back and forth.
So I like it. That's smart. My shooting guard is somebody that I've been high on, and you know this, and you will not be surprised when I say this. And I thought this was a player that never should have been dealt last year. But now that he's been dealt and his last year's point guard has been dealt, I see Gary Trent Jr. having a great year this year. I see him breaking out, and you will see another Toronto Raptor in my breakout top five. TBD, you'll see, hint, hint, wink, wink. But I think Gary Trent Jr. is going to fill it up this year. I think he's one of the most underrated players. I think he was one of the MVPs of the bubble, which is where I really did fall in love with this game. He can play some lockdown defense when he wants to. And he's a dog, man. You know how I am when it comes to those guys, the Draymonds of the league. I think Gary Trent's that type of guy. And I see him having a breakout year and eventually getting paid after maybe these next 2 years in Toronto. So I got Gary Trent Jr. as my breakout shooting guard for this year.
Okay. I like that. Shooting guard for me, this is one that I think could burn, meaning crash and burn, but I think that if it does work out, it's going to be like, okay. Cam Reddish. I'm rooting for him. I loved that Duke team he was on with RJ and Zion and Trey Jones. I loved everything about his playoff run last year before Milwaukee cut it at the very end. Thank you. And I think, though, that rumors like that, especially after such a limited output of just skill for him, already thrown into trade rumors saying that, oh, Atlanta can now use him as a piece. They can use him as a, you know, oh, we can try and get someone better. It's like, no, you should value what you have. You use a lottery pick on this guy. He was a consensus five-star, All-American, you know, McDonald's, whatever. He's a baller. He can get you a bucket. And not that he's going to take Bogdanovich's minutes, but off the bench, that second unit, are you kidding me? Cam Reddish could be a candidate for sixth man of the year as well, because Atlanta's going to, I don't think they're going to be, maybe not Eastern Conference Finals, but I think going in, it's now flipped. It's going to be, they're going to be really hyped up, and they might not live up to it because it's going to be so high. But Cam Reddish, I think, is right there.
I like that one. I like Cam Reddish. Here's why I a little bit disagree. In my heart of hearts, I agree with you for him as a player. I was a little bit disappointed in his amount of minutes in the postseason. Like in that last series, like he didn't see the court nearly as much as I thought. And I think a lot of it had to do with the kind of swag that they had. And
John Collins.
My God, I love John Collins. John Collins is balling. So I think they kind of changed their rotation a bit, but I like that pick. I think Cam Reddish is one of those underrated guys. And Sonny, he's not on my list, but one of the guys I had for breakout was from that team, RJ Barrett. He's not on my breakout team, but he was gonna, because I think those guys don't get enough credit because they had to play beside Zion, who obviously is maybe the most hyped up player in the league since LeBron. So, But I think both of those guys could have breakout years this year.
He's speaking truth. I like it. Small forward. This is one that honestly could be pegged as, oh, come on, man. But I really think that it's actually going to be substantial. I think it's going to carry over. That's Terrence Mann. What he did in that Western Conference Finals was ridiculous. I mean, turning on my TV and watching him against Utah, first off, doing the things he was doing, I'm like, what the heck's going on? This guy barely could get, you know, garbage time minutes 2 years ago or whenever he came into the league. I think it was 2 years ago or a year ago. My mistake. But is he the third budding star with Kawhi and PG? I kind of like how he fits in. I like that Kawhi can kind of dominate the ball offensively. Paul George can kind of, you know, flank out maybe towards each wing and have Terrence Mann as a slasher and as a guy that can spot up for three. I think that's crazy. And if you put him on the defensive side as well, and then you factor in if LA tries to play small, he fits in perfectly as maybe like a undersized three or four, or more so a four. I mean, he's perfect size for a three. I'm going to say Terrence Mann. But again, it could be looked at as, okay, that's too easy. What do you think?
Yeah, I like Terrence Mann. I mean, for me, in the NBA, 6'5", bit of a small shooting or small forward, if we're being honest. But to be honest, I mean, the small forward even exist anymore? I mean, it's kind of just picking a guy from 2 to 4 is basically just wing. Like, this really could be point guard, wing, big. Like, that's what we could have done, but I like that pick. I think Terrence Mann has the ability to fill it up in the way that I think Gary Trent will. My breakout for small forward, you're going to roll your eyes and you're going to be like, breakout, this doesn't fit the description. But you know what? Damn it, I make my own description. And I think breakout means you go from maybe you're in the thoughts, you're in the back thoughts of an NBA fan to the front of the thoughts of an NBA fan, right?
Why do I feel like I know what you're going to say?
Come on, who do you think?
Are you going to say Klay Thompson?
No. Come on. Klay Thompson's already a star. I like where your head's at, though. I could have said that. That might have been my number two pick. But my number one pick is Jalen Green. Here's why.
Here's why.
Everybody's going to say, well, what are you talking about? He's been in our thoughts for the last however many years. We didn't see his progression this year in the developmental league. You saw him as a senior in high school. You saw he was a beast. We barely saw footage of him this year, just like we barely saw footage of Jonathan Kuminga. We saw a little bit in the G League, a little bit in the Summer League. Summer League. I think you're going to be surprised at how good Jalen Green is. Like, I think people are going to be like, yeah, of course he's going to be good. But you remember how people thought about Anthony Edwards? They're like, oh, this guy's going to be good. But then by the end of the year, you're like, this guy's good. Like, this guy's really, really good.
He's already good.
He's already good. Like, he was good when he came in. I think we're going to realize that about Jalen Green. Maybe I was being a bit lazy because I just like talking about Jalen Green, but I really do think he's going to break out this year and immediately come into the forefront of the minds of other owners in the league thinking, man, if they don't pay this guy when his rookie contract's up, they're going to start writing it in their balance sheet for 2026. We're going to drop this guy a max deal. I think that's how good he's going to be. So maybe he doesn't fit the typical description of breakout, but for me, he does. So I had to play.
All right. Not too bad. I think I was trying not to put any rookies in there just because, you know, but I like where your head's at. Kind of like you said about Klay. And I know that Klay, like you said, he is a star, but I have a vested interest in him this year just because I love catch and shoot players. And he's probably the best to do it in a long time in terms of strictly that's his MO. So that's what my guess was, but I think I would have guessed Jalen Green second because I know you. All right, power forward and center. I'm just going to rattle them off. Jaren Jackson Jr. is due. He had 14-5 during the 2020 season, did not play at all last year. So 14-5 is probably going to go, I would say, in terms of breakout, they just got rid of Jonas Valanciunas too, which did take up a bit of the offense. They brought in Steven Adams, so I wouldn't say Steven Adams is the offensive threat that Valanciunas is, so those touches naturally should go right to JJ. I would say he's going to average close to 20-10. There's no reason why he can't. It's Ja, and that's it. In terms of when you really think about quality shots, maybe Dylan Brooks here and there. Of course, you know, it's Steven Adams. Look at those gimmies at the rim. Jaren Jackson Jr. is going to break out. And my center, this is one that I really, 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 really wanted to see him do well in college. Never really did. Injured, whatever. Got drafted high. Thought he was going to break out. Kind of did. Not really. Mitchell Robinson. The dude is freaky athletically. He just stands there and imposes his will. He only had 8-8 last year. A guy that's what, 7'2", 260 with that frame? Maybe a little bit less. I may be giving him some weight there, like he just had some burgers. But he's going to have a rise similar to Clint Capela, minus the experience. Because Capela did play on that Houston team. He had the playoff experience, carried over to Atlanta after that weird lull. It's going to be the same thing. Mitchell Robinson is going to average 15-15, and he's going to be healthy. That's another thing that also, like I mentioned, hasn't played to his favor. So I'm confident in my two big men, Triple J and Mitchell Robinson.
First of all, I want to be 100% honest. Before we did this episode, I thought when I was making my teams, I want to try and avoid saying the same name. And in my opinion, my choice was not even my choice. My choice was Jaren Jackson Jr. But I knew, because you're a bigger Grizzlies guy than me, you would put him. Here's how 100% committed, agree, I'm with you so hard about Jaren Jackson Jr. My prediction is Triple J. You said JJ because Jaren Jackson Jr., right?
I'm sorry.
Wins most improved player in the NBA this year.
I like that a lot.
Because I don't even know if they have comeback player of the year anymore. If they do, he probably will win that too. But most improved, you talk about 14-5. That guy has so much potential. He's such a freak athletically. I watched him throughout college, obviously, as a Sparty. That dude's a monster. He's so freaky athletically. 20-10 for me almost might be underselling it. That dude could sneeze and get 12 rebounds if he wanted to. Here's the only problem. Steven Adams also sneezes and can get 20 rebounds. So maybe it's something more like 22-8. But because I knew you'd pick him, I picked another guy. And here goes back to my Raptors. It's a guy who fits their system. It's a guy who continues to improve. And it's a guy in a position that the Raptors have continuously made stars. So my pick for power forward is OG Anunoby. Because you've seen with the Raptors, they've made Siakam, Serge Ibaka. They just continue to keep the power forward alive. So I think OG, he keeps improving. But I think he will have a great year this year. He was my second pick. I think he's going to end up becoming a trade piece just like Siakam was. I mean, you remember how much I wanted Siakam to come to the Warriors? I think the same thing's going to happen with OG. And like I said, Kyle Lowry gone, Kawhi leaving a few years ago. There's openings for points. They need points from somewhere. And I just like his game. So I think it's a similar game to Triple J. It's just a little bit less athletic, maybe even a little bit more intelligent on the court. So I think OG's going to have himself a year for the power forward. Please go.
He averaged 15.9 a game last year. What do you see him averaging this year?
20s?
20s? Low 20s? Whoa, that'd be fun.
He needs to, because think, Kyle Lowry averaged how much last year? 20s and low? 18?
I can fact check you right now.
They're going to need to find his production somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, I just didn't think about it. Kyle Lowry averaged 17, 7, and 5. So
there we go. So 17. I was 1 point off. Sometimes I can be wrong, huh? But they got to find that 17 somewhere. And I think you're going to split it between Gary Trent and OG. I think Gary Trent averages low 20s. I think OG averages low 20s. I think they're going to be one of those teams, especially because they had a little bit of a down year, in my opinion, for typical Toronto over the last few years. I think they're going to rise back up. And I think it's going to be because of those two. So that's my power forward. My center. Remember how I said it, like where your head's at with Klay Thompson? You should know where I'm going now. I think James Wiseman has himself a massive year this year. Here's why. I want to explain it. James Wiseman is one of those players where he can run the whole floor in about 6 steps because he's incredibly long and athletic. He tries to shoot from the three-pointer, which normally I'd say, maybe don't. But he had a whole year where there was no expectation really on the Warriors at all. The stars were out a third of the season, maybe even half for some of them. I think Wiseman's going to contribute. And if Klay comes back and with the two rookies, there's not going to be as many eyes on Wiseman. And he's going to come in very particular times. I think he's going to end up being a big piece. Do I think his numbers are going to jump off the screen? No, because there's stars on that team. But in terms of a breakout player where he becomes, oh, all of a sudden, like I said, owners, managers, GMs, coaches are thinking, that guy fits the mold of a big in this league. He moves well. He can shoot from the outside. He's a good screener. He plays good defense. He can block some shots. I think he can really do it all. So I think James Wiseman is going to have himself a heck of a year this year. So I put him as my center for my breakout team.
I can't really argue with any of your team. I mean, not that I wanted to, but I mean, I really like Wiseman. I almost forgot about him. So in that case, that slots him in as a breakout guy. I really, 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 really hope Klay Thompson is healthy. I really do, because that Warriors team, not that I like necessarily want to relinquish any hype on the Bucks, and deservedly so because of what they did. I really want to see Golden State do well. And I haven't been like that. I think it was the OG teams like back in 2015, 2016, where I'm like, oh, this team's fun. The whole KD thing, it's like, oh, all right. And then even after KD left, I'm like, okay, that's enough. But after seeing what Klay's going through, seeing what Steph can still do, hearing Draymond and like why he is who he is and everything about it. Like Klay's just so fun too. The pictures of him and his dog, him just talking on social media. He's just full of life, man. Call me corny. Call me corn on the cob, but I don't care. I want to see Klay Thompson. You won't call me corn on the cob. I want to see Klay Thompson do well. I want to see the Warriors do well. And if that happens, James Wiseman probably will have to be doing well. So that's good to close things out. But I know that you're probably more excited about this team, the all-style team. I mean, that's not even a question. Not that I'm not into style, but I've definitely, like you say, you know, we're definitely two different guys in that sense. But I have some that might throw you for a loop. Maybe. I'd be interested to see, though. We should have asked each other, like, predict what we were going to say. You know what I mean? Like, for you, I could see, well, I'm not going to give any names. I want you to give the names. But I could have probably written down, player for player, what you would have done. I'm not trying to, like, say that you're predictable, but I know your style. And I know how crazy you are in the best way. So I'm excited to see what you're going to do. So I want you to lead things off here for your all-style team. What do you got?
Well, beautiful. Yeah, you are right. I will be honest. I was more excited about the all-style team. It's one of my favorite things of the year when the season ends and all of a sudden I go to League Fits on Instagram and they start doing third team, second team, first team all-style, rookie of the year, MVP. I love it. It's one of my favorite things. And I love the tunnel fits. I love everything about it. I'm going to start with my point guard. It is somebody similar to what you have on your breakout team. It is not Lonzo Ball. It is Mr. 704 himself, LaMelo Ball. He is so underrated with the fits. It's almost like he was underrated even under my radar because he doesn't go crazy. He's not quite Shai Gilgeous, right? But he kind of has a little bit of that flair. But I like what he's doing in Charlotte. He's very urban, good sneakers. He rocks his own stuff, changes it up. I don't know. There's something about LaMelo Ball's fits. And maybe I'm a homer, right? He's in Charlotte, so I see him around. He's in the city. But LaMelo Ball, man, it's hard. And to be honest, as point guard, it's like almost sacrilegious as a style guy not to say Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. But I've said his name so many times when we talk about sneaker kings, fashion kings. I had to, you know what? You can sit this one out this time, Shai Gilgeous. But so for me, it's LaMelo Ball. That's my point guard for my all-style team this year.
Well, I was going to say that was going to be mine as well, Shai Gilgeous, even though I don't relate to any of his style because I never would personally wear baggy pants and vests without shirts underneath. But his new Converse that we exchanged over the weekend, I want those. So we might end up getting the same pair of shoes. That's cool with me. My point guard is one guy that I deflected in a way a few weeks ago, and we talked about the Tech Fleece Kings. But my point guard is Ja Morant. Shout out to South Carolina. I know I'm partial. But second is because the guy wears the most simple things. But I also like guys that wear things like that, similar to Giannis. And I don't have him on my team. I'm going to let you know that now. That would have just been too much of a homer. But he wears things that you look at and you're like, wow, that just looks good. It doesn't look crazy. It doesn't look like he's wearing just like a t-shirt and cut-off shorts and slides. He knows what he's doing. His fits are calculated. That's what matters. And Ja, I know I kind of dethroned you from, I guess, you know, sneaker culture, Twitter culture, whatever, about you being the Tech Fleece King because it is Giannis, and I'm going to stand on that. But he's my point guard, if that matters. I feel like that has to matter. But yeah, it's Ja Morant. Easy.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, the Tech Fleece, he's simple. It's kind of your vibe, right? I mean, you'll pull out a sweatsuit with some Nikes, some sweatsuit, with some, you know, New Balance. I mean, that's your style, right? Simple is key, man. Right? Simple is smooth, as I like to say. I want to hear your shooting guard, though. Before I get into my shooting guard, I want you to – here's what I want you to do. I want you to rattle off 2 and 3, and I'm going to rattle off 4 and 5 first so we can really get into a groove. I want to hear your 2 and your 3 all-style team right now.
Okay.
Let's hear it.
Weirdly enough, I just realized that my shooting guard and small forward almost kind of look alike, but you'll figure it out. I didn't even realize that until just now. My shooting guard, and it's recency bias, is Devin Booker. One being that he has probably every shoe known to man, and he always challenges PJ Tucker, which takes a lot of stones. And two, he's another guy that just, I like his style. I like that it's more simple. I like that it's got some vintage thrown in there. I like that he knows what's hot. He, you know, participates in those slam photo shoots. And, you know, in 20 years, he's going to be able to show his kids like, yeah, that was me. Like I was Mr. Cool. I did everything right back then. I was in with all the times. I really like him. I really like Devin Booker. I'm a fan of his game. Fan of him against the Bucks, LOL. And two, you know, that was two. Three, I really like just, again, it's the simplicity for me, Danny. And you'll see that for a couple more. But my small forward is Tobias Harris. Don't him and Devin Booker kind of look alike? Be honest with me.
A little bit. No, you're not wrong.
I mean, I realize that.
Tobias is a little bit on my thick boy team, but nah, I'm with you. It's true.
I would say Tobias because I was looking through League Fits last night. I was even just looking at old articles of, you know, top 10 dress, whatever. Tobias showed up a few times, not near number one or two or three, maybe even four or five, but some of the stuff he was wearing, I'll go ahead and say this too. I'm not a guy that likes to wear like baggy things. Like, you know, back in, I mean, I love the pictures though of like Tim Duncan wearing those big baggy suits. Of course, you know, before him, like Jordan, Pippen, you know, Magic Johnson, all those guys wearing like those big baggy, you know, over, and even LeBron on the draft night, like, you know, those suits that just look like they're for someone that's 400 pounds. But I'm also not a guy that likes to wear things that are like skin tight. I kind of like more slim fit, but not like, dude, maybe go down a size because, or go up a size because that's never fun. But Tobias has a couple of fits. And let's be honest, these NBA guys, they've got the nutrition, they've got the physique to wear that kind of stuff. Tobias Harris wears that, but he rocks it. He'll wear like suits sometimes and put his pants like actual capris and nice shoes and like open collar on like his button down, nice hat, maybe some shades, kind of Cam Newton-esque. I really like that about Tobias Harris. Not a Sixers fan by any stretch, but I love his style. And I want to ask you too, because I want to see if I've thrown you off. Are any of those three, did you expect me to pick any of those three? I wanted to try and throw you some curveballs because you're the more fashionable guy on this podcast.
If I'm being 100% honest, and first of all, I appreciate you saying that. I do agree with that. But Ja Morant is the only one where I could see you leaning that way, right? I could see you leaning that way because we did talk about it. It's your style. Out of those three, I would say that's probably the one where if I took Ja's fits and I put them on you, it would look the most natural. If I saw Devin Booker's sneakers and I put them on you, I don't know how natural that would look, but Tobias does have a nice style. And you know what I like about Tobias? He mixes it up. Like certain guys, like a Kyle Kuzma or a Shai Gilgeous, like they have their thing. Like there's one thing, if they strayed away from that thing, it's like they must have some sort of commission going to a designer because it's like they wear the same style all the time. But I can't sit here and lie and say I thought Devin Booker or Tobias Harris would be on your list. And I don't know who I thought would have been. There's somebody I'm surprised is not on your list, but we're not to the four and fives yet. So he might be on your list. But anyway, my two and three, I'm going to start my shooting guard. Right. This is somebody who I think gets overlooked when it comes to fits. And it's probably because he's at a position where there's some kings when it comes to fits. But my two is Jordan Clarkson. Jordan Clarkson is so good with his fits, the light skin vibes. He doesn't quite wear the loose like Shai Gilgeous, but he doesn't wear skin tight like my small forward wears skin tight. There's your little hint, hint, wink, wink. But I love how Jordan Clarkson dresses. And I think what's subtle about Jordan Clarkson, he's not always wearing like the fad shoes, the trendy shoes. He's not always wearing like the newest off-white, the newest whatever. He typically kind of mixes it up. He goes old school, which I like. I like he appreciates the art. But my number three, and this is going to, you're going to be so annoyed at this. I know you. Because I already mentioned this guy in the breakout team. Jalen Green, again, he's in my aisle five. And I know you talked about last year. Jalen Green, in my opinion, has been one of the best dressed in the NBA since he was in high school.
Can I veto?
You can't veto. And here's why. Jalen Green is an actual real life rock star. Have you seen this guy's hair?
I love his hair.
So he's got this sick, like Jerry curl, like looks like his hair's
not even
wet.
Jerry curl. That's the thing. Like you see the vintage, like prime time, like when Dion had it.
Yes, but it's better than
Dion's.
It's so good. Amazing. He just like twists it in the air. It's beautiful. You know whose hair reminds me of? And shout out this guy, Jacob Dawkins. Have you ever seen Jacob Dawkins? So he's out
now
of
with his curly hair. Yeah,
dude, Jacob Dawkins. Is a beauty. Can we just admit that? I hope Jake hears this. This dude's a beauty.
I'll send him a clip.
But it's Jalen Green, dude. He's a rock star. Did you see his one of his last posts? He wore a vintage sleeveless. Come on, dude. You gotta have, you know, take a word out of your dictionary. You gotta have some stones to pull that off. And he always is with the trendy shoes, and he loves to rock a skin tight pair of jeans. I mean, that dude's a real life rock star. He's unbelievable. And for those who like Jalen Green as much as me, or if you don't, you will after this, look up Jalen Green playing for Team Philippines. Dude, he's a rock star in the Philippines. He gets off the bus. It's like, they treat him like he's Michael Jackson or he's Manny Pacquiao.
I didn't know he was Filipino.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Sick one, man.
Didn't know.
But yes, that is my 2 and 3. So I will rattle off my 4 and 5 now.
Can
and
we trade 4, 4, 5, 5?
I'm in on that. I'm in on
Let's
that.
Do that.
And I will guarantee you will never suspect my 4 and 5 ever. You'll Whoa. Never suspect. My okay. number 4, Jared Vanderbilt.
Wow.
Somebody go look up Jay Vanderbilt.
I know Jared Instagram. Vanderbilt.
Dude, he wasn't even on my radar. He wasn't even on my radar. All of a sudden, League Fitz posts a picture of Jay Vandal rocking like the blue off-whites with like this crazy pair of jeans with this crazy shirt and jacket combo with like a bandana. Dude, he's so old school, man. Jay Vandal looks like you pulled him straight out of the early 80s, like late 70s, early 80s, mixed with like 2010 fashion, the hype beast. Oh, man. He honestly, in my opinion, if I was running League Fitz, would be up for League Fitz MVP. He's that good. He's that good. Unfortunately, he's not up there in terms of like superstars in this league. So you typically kind of get overlooked when it comes to League Fitz, which is upsetting, but it's the way it is. But he will get the respect on the Kicking It podcast because Jared Vanderbilt is an absolute monster with the Fitz. And I hope he has a breakout year. I mean, come on. I love Jay Vando, but that's my 4. Beast.
I never would have guessed that.
Never.
And I bet you you're not going to expect this one for my 4. Because I think you know. But I know you don't know.
Oh.
Montrezl Harrell.
That's a good one. I did think you were going to say Giannis. I'll be honest.
Oh, I thought you were going to think I was going to say PJ Tucker.
No, PJ Tucker's not no 4.
Yeah, yes, he is.
In this league, he is. But in real life, he's a small forward.
Okay, yeah. But I told you that. I wasn't going to say Giannis.
That's perfect. That's Montrezl is perfect.
Montrezl Harrell. Because, one, he's a guy that I think, you know, like all these NBA players, but he's a guy that deserves every penny that he has. Like, he works and is so freaking just high motor in every way. He's one of my favorite players to watch. Honestly, I love watching him play. Back to his days at Louisville, then of course the Clippers, the Lakers, now the Wizards. Like, I'm a fan. I love Montrezl Harrell. But my favorite stories are when Noah Eagle, our good friend of the pod, would always talk about how he would wear like what, 40 pairs of shoes in a season, or not even wear the same pair every game. Like, that's ridiculous. But his always had like extra stuff, like fur or like buckles or like crazy stuff. And one thing too, not that I would do this, but I remember during, I guess it was last year when they finally let people come, you know, when they finally let the guys play outside the bubble, and he'd do like, you know, the runway pictures, the tunnel, whatever you want to call it. He would always have a Louis Vuitton mask. And I know that they don't make those, like Louis Vuitton doesn't exactly make those, but if you go through the time and effort to make sure your mask is Louis Vuitton, you earn some brownie points for me. So I'm going to say Montrezl Harrell. He rounds it out perfect, but I'm really excited for our centers, because you're not going to guess my center, but go ahead.
No, you're doing center first. I did the 4 first.
All right, fine. Okay. My center. You know that, you know, the bias comes out of me, Danny. And in this case, it's my team. My center for all style is Brooke.
Don't you dare.
Lopez.
Don't you dare.
Brooke Lopez. He wears a Brewers hat, a Star Wars t-shirt, mismatching shorts, high socks, and Giannis's shoes. Yes, Brooke Lopez is my center for my all-style team, because he does not give a rat's you-know-what about what he wears, when he wears it. I almost did Brooke and Robin co-centers because they're so good, because they're just two wholesome dudes that enjoy their lives and live within their means. Call me traditional. Call me 60 years old. I think it's hilarious. When the Bucks post their game day fit pictures, you got Dante DiVincenzo wearing Fear of God and off-white. You've got Pat Connaughton looking nice. You've got Giannis. You got Jrue Holiday, Chris Middleton. Then you got Brooke Lopez walking around like he just literally left Disney World. That's why I love it so much. You may continue with yours.
Here's why I love that pick, for two reasons. One, because our centers represent our style perfectly. Like, Brooke Lopez is
now
exactly
I'm not Brooke Lopez,
but I think if you were an NBA player, you would go, like you would almost go into that.
No,
be honest. You would migrate towards that style more than you'd migrate towards a Shea Gilgeous Alexander style.
Okay, yeah, that of course, but I wouldn't go. I would be more so on the right side of the extreme, if you want to say right or left. But I would not be as far right as Brooke Lopez.
I agree, but what I'm saying is you would drift there, and I would drift towards my center. My second reason why I like that pick so much is because you know who I think your favorite your power forward slash center would have been had we done this in 2005.
Tim Duncan,
because Tim Duncan was basically the Brooke Lopez of like the early 2000s. Like he would come out there just big t-shirt and like he wears the jeans that are the same size as LeBron's suit from the draft night. Like he would wear jeans that were nine sizes too big and just like wrap a double belt around. Amazing. It's amazing. And that's why I like that pick. My center, and in my opinion, there was only one choice. Because when we talk about center, like I'm talking about a real center. Like Brooke Lopez is a real center. A Capella is a real center. Steven Adams is a real center. You know who's a real center who dresses like a real G? Bull.
Oh, that's a good one.
Bull.
That's a good one.
His style is so dope. And what makes it the best, like my favorite thing about Bull dresses like he's 6'4". Like wear like a vintage t-shirt and a hoodie.
Some of his stuff does not fit because he's seven what? He's above 7 feet. It's like
he's like 7'5". Like, dude, he tries to dress like he's Jordan Clarkson, but he's literally a foot taller. How tall is Bull?
Bull.
He gotta be 7'4".
My God, he's 7'2".
That's BS. He's 7'4".
And he's 220, so he's really like
getting thick.
A stick.
He probably came in the league 180. Like, dude, I'm telling you, Bull is one of my favorite guys to see because I always see him taking pictures with Shaquille O'Neal, who I also think when he gets in the league is going to be one of the best dressed. And Sharif's already like, what, 6'10"?
Mm-hmm.
And Bull dwarfs him. It's hilarious. Like, Bull is one of my favorite people. Like, period. When he comes in the game, it's amazing. It's like when Taco Fall was in the game, but with actual skill. Like, Taco Fall was kind of like a circus clown. Like, he's in the NBA, so I got to give him credit. But it was like, you know, when Brian Scalabrine or Robert Sacre came in. It was like, it was just a good meme. It was like for the not top 10 in the NBA. Bull is actually legit. I hope he gets more minutes because, in my opinion, he's got to be one of my favorite players in the NBA. Like, he's so funny. Everything about him is great. He's goofy, he's long. He can shoot threes. Like, he defies the laws of athletic ability. Like, and in my opinion, he defies the laws of style. He somehow makes it work at 7'4". I've never seen a guy over 7 feet have style like this. I haven't. So, Bull, for me, there's only one pick. That's exactly where I would drift towards if I was in the NBA. Not quite there, just like you wouldn't quite get the Brooke Lopez, but I think those picks really do round out our versions of style when it comes to the NBA.
I don't know if there's a better way to end. I think that was perfect. I think that this was probably one of our more fun pods in terms of prepping, looking into it. Like, okay, this is really going to, like you said, it's going to indicate our own style, our own logic, and that it did. Danny, that was fun. I enjoyed that. I know we usually wait till we're off the air to say, wow, that was so much fun. But I have to say it. I enjoyed that a lot.
I did. And I hope during this NBA season, considering I think we both have an idea of who's going to be at the top of the East and at the top of the West. Obviously, there's always surprises, but I think we know who's going to be there. I hope we do more timeless pods like this. I really do. I think back to one of our first timeless pods, which is the Kobe podcast, which I believe is episode 6, which is crazy to think that was only our 6th episode. And we were crying in an office in Wingate Athletics Department. And if those who are listening now have not heard that, please go back and listen. I think, honest to God, it's probably still my favorite and I think the most heartfelt podcast we've ever done. Please go back and listen because it is timeless, right? And I think these pods will stand the test of time. They'll be listening to these podcasts when we're doing a live show on FS1 because that is what I truly believe we will be doing at some point. Go back and listen. And I hope we can do timeless pods throughout the entire 21-22 season.
Well, yeah, in about 3 weeks, if you're bored, you know where to find us. That is Danny Belsito. I am Donnie Sherrell saying so long and thank you for listening, as always, to Kicking It with Danny and Donnie. Peace.
Peace.